So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And it was a phenomenal place to grow up, but one of the most incredible things that can happen to a child happened in Brooklyn and all of New York, which was that it wasn't the Pope's visit. It was the New York World's Fair. And I don't think they have World's Fairs anymore, or if they do, nobody really cares about them anymore because they suck. But the New York World's Fair was like having every single Disney kind of land and Noah's Ark and Six Flags and everything else rolled into one, and it was a half hour from my house. And it was there for 2 years. And so we went like 30 or 40 times. We were just like World's Fair junkies. And my older brother was kind of a Weisenheimer kid. He was an instigator. And the cool thing about the World's Fair was that it was cultural because all these other countries were represented, and it was also very futuristic. So like in the 60s when this happened, GM and Chrysler and GE, they were like the big companies. And the rides that GM and Ford and those places would do, you got into real cars. And you got to kind of like act like you were driving the cars, and it was just a wonderland for a kid. And there was a lot of other kinds of corporate pavilions and stuff. And one of them was the Lifesavers Pavilion. And the Lifesavers was basically an elevator ride up, maybe five stories. And then on the top of it was this huge white Lifesaver. And on the elevator ride up, there's this like very proper looking young woman who's like with a little hat and a little Lifesavers button. And she looked like a 1960s stewardess, not a flight attendant. She looked like a stewardess. And she was telling you the history of Lifesavers and why there's a hole in the Lifesavers and how they get the hole in it. And we ride all the way up, and when you get up to the observation deck, they hand out these little rolls of Lifesavers, gotcha. And my brother snuck around the back and found out where like they were keeping all the little rolls of Lifesavers. So he's like hoarding them. And we go to the edge and we're looking out, and we start like aiming at people and tossing the Lifesavers. And if you ever have an opportunity to do this, the fruit ones aren't so good, there's too much air, but the mint ones, man, you could just really get those. And then we're doing that for like 5 minutes, and suddenly we feel this hand reach out and pull us by the ears, and it was the Lifesaver stewardess. And she pulled us over and she said, "I've been watching you two. You and are an abomination to the Lifesavers Pavilion. And you're causing shame to the World's Fair. And you are now banned from the Lifesavers Pavilion." And guys like with security guards escorted us on the elevator ride of shame. We're just going down, and then we get out, and in true form, my brother gets out and goes, "So long, suckers!" And so flash forward many years, I go to film school, and it's in the 80s, and there wasn't a lot of work. So, so I got a lot of freelance work with corporations, and I did one for Planters Peanuts. And they loved it because it was very artsy with the peanuts. And they were owned by Nabisco, and Nabisco also owned Lifesavers. And Lifesavers saw the peanut video, and they flew me out to Lifesaverland. Where is it? Oh, Holland, Michigan. And I did this big Lifesaver video. The budget was like $100,000, ridiculous. And in the video, the fruit were the really good ones, the fruit flavors, because they were colorful. So I did this video, made it look all artsy and cool, and then they flew me out again for the big premiere of the Lifesavers video, and it was all the heads of all the companies and, you know, white guys with gray hair and me, basically. And so they show it, and they're very happy. And they all look to me, and I said, guys, I have a confession to make. And I told them the entire Lifesaver story, and they said, the ban is lifted. You can go back. Thank you.